Professor Rashid Khalidi, I want to thank you both very much for being with us. Ali Abanima's book is called One Country, A Bold Proposal to End the Israel-Palestinian Impasse, and Professor Khalidi's book, The Iron Cage, The Story of the Palestinian Struggle for Statehood. That does it for our broadcast. If you'd like to get a copy of the show, you can go to democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Sharif Abdelkaddous, John Hamilton, Elizabeth Press, Yoruba Richin, Aaron Mate, Lee Burek, and Jen Utes. Mike DeFilippo and Nick Marsilio are our engineers. Special thanks to Megan Whitney, Angela Alston, Hugh Grand, Kieran Craig-Meadows, John Randolph, Danielle Strandberg-Peshkin, Samantha Chambly. Again, our website where you get our headlines and summaries of our broadcast at democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
And you're listening to radio station WUSB in Stony Brook. The time is 6 o'clock. And that means, once again, it's time for Off the Wall. And a good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this exciting Tuesday evening. Exciting because, well, we have a shortened show tonight. We're only 45 minutes because there's a women's basketball game coming up at 6:45 p.m. So what that means, how that affects you, that means you have less reaction time, less time to run to your phones and call in and spout forth with your various opinions. Opinions on the things that we'll be talking about tonight, of which we'll try to cram as much as possible in the short time that we have. The phone number for future reference, area code 631-632-9872. That spells out 631-632-WUSB. We'll be taking calls at about the half-hour mark. I hope I don't have to beg for calls at the half-hour mark. I hope people will set their watches and timers and alarm clocks, whatever else you have, and call us. We want to hear from you. And how many times? How many times do you get the opportunity these days to call in and have your voice heard by thousands? No, millions of people. In fact, what's to say that in the future, some civilization won't find these recordings stored on the internet absolutely fascinating? They might not even have to go to the internet. They could tune their radios and our signal goes out into outer space forever. Yeah, so it might take a few years, but what you have to say may become very relevant. Who knows? Well, okay, Thanksgiving week. That was fun, wasn't it? All of us coming down, reuniting with the people we haven't seen in a while and remembering why that was. But no, it's fun. It always is. I don't mean to degrade the occasion. It's a great excuse to get together and see people that you haven't seen in a while and argue about various... It's always about arguing, you know? At least in my family, it's always about arguing. Whenever you get a bunch of us together, that's when all the rhetoric just starts to fly. And it's incredible. This has been going on, I think, for centuries. But for some reason, it's something about this one holiday in November where everybody just has to proclaim some conclusive fact. such as, I've had enough with these damn liberals. That's it. I'm fed up. Or I've had enough with these damn conservatives or these religious groups. Or who knows? There's always something. But Thanksgiving is when you tell everybody you've had enough. You don't want to deal with it anymore. This is it. Don't even start to talk to me about this because I'm just going to unleash a whole barrage of opinion your way. I guess it's sort of like an invitation. And of course, you know, that's what happens. That's what happens. You talk about politics. You know, you talk about the state of the economy, the idiots in Washington, D.C. And I think just about everybody agrees that they are idiots in Washington, D.C. It's just a question of who's more idiotic than the others right now. It's become relatively hard, and tell me if this is true, at your family gatherings, it's relatively hard to find people who stand up and say, yeah, George W. Bush is a good guy, and he's worth defending. Most people seem to conclude that he's an idiot and has done all sorts of stupid things, and this war was a big mistake. Most people seem to get that. It's what comes afterwards. Well, what are the Democrats going to do? Or just, how horrible is Hillary anyway? You know, things like that. That's where the real disagreements are going to come into play. But I think the Bush thing, that's no longer even an issue. So yeah, you know, we did the usual thing. Actually, this time, this year, for the first time ever, instead of heading west to see relatives, and for those of you who don't know, we're here on this unique place called Long Island, which kind of is an island. It's a Long Island, too. It's about 120 miles long. And it's to the east of New York City. And we're about, here in Stony Brook, we're about halfway out. Usually, if you want to see people and relatives and things like that, you head west. And I've headed west to places like Nassau County and New York City and even New Jersey on occasion. Yeah, it happens. But this was the first time ever I headed out east, because apparently I have relatives out in the eastern part of Long Island. I mean, I did know this, but I just never actually checked it out before. I gotta say, it's really kind of cool out there. Especially in the off-season when all the tourists aren't around. A lot less traffic, a lot less people, a lot more wildlife. And so it was just kind of cool hanging out there. The same people showed up, so we had the same arguments. But I've learned that when you're arguing with a whole lot of people, there are certain games you can play. I learned this from living in a group house. You know, we lived in that old house over in Strong's Neck for many years, 8 people at least at one time. You learn a thing or two about resolving conflicts. And the secret, the trick, is always to give somebody something. This is what the Bush administration can't seem to understand. You have to let somebody, even if they know they're wrong, you have to let them get out of the argument with some modicum of dignity. So when somebody in my family says, my God, I can't believe how non-religious our schools have become these days, and how God is banned from even being mentioned with little kids. You sort of say, instead of saying, my God, how can you sit there and spout this moronic nonsense? Where do you get this from? Do you have a direct line to Pat Robertson or something? I mean, you make him look reasonable. And instead of that, which tends not to result in a very good argument, you say something to the effect of, I see what you're saying. Just saying that, even if you say nothing afterwards that in any way coincides with what that other person has just told you, just laying it forth in that kind of conciliatory way changes the whole atmosphere. And I had to do this. I had to do this pretty much throughout the entire day, because all sorts of different factions were developing with my relatives, where one side would say something and then the other side would get all pissed off. But the thing is, it wouldn't last, because they'd be on the same side again in 5 minutes. But I had to always be the one to step in there and try to agree with a person who I thought was spiraling out of control. So I would have to say things like, yeah, I see your point. I didn't say it's a stupid point. I can't believe you made that point. I didn't say things like that. I just said, I see your point. I see it. It's there. It's, oh my God, what a disaster it is, but I can see it. And I find that in life, if you just do that occasionally, you tend to diffuse a whole lot of trouble. And you also have some pretty interesting conversations. But I gotta tell you, you know, we had some classics this year. And I brought up a lot because I like to bring up things. I don't know why, I just like to bring up things. And one of the things I brought up was the proposed New York City ban on trans fat. This is the latest thing where basically unhealthy food such as things, French fries that are deep fried and all kinds of bad things like that are a particular way of cooking them is going to be banned from now on so that the trans fat doesn't get into our system, which is no good at all for anybody. And you'll still be able to have these things, they're just going to be made in a different way. That's about all I know about the subject. I'm no expert on it. But a lot of people are saying, this is a violation of my rights. I should have the right to choose if I want to eat something that's unhealthy. And that makes sense. I can see that point. But when do you ever have the choice? When does the waitress come up to you and say, hey, would you like French fries that are all trans fatty and unhealthy? Would you like the other kind? They don't do that. You don't know. And so that whole argument started as far as does the government have the right to tell you to behave healthy? And then, of course, that led into smoking and secondhand smoke and the ban on smoking in bars and how that's the first step towards communism and various other issues like that. And then my uncle did the best thing ever. He managed, without missing a beat, to tie the ban, the proposed ban on trans fatty foods to the legalization of gay marriage. Yeah, and it was incredible. I was in awe. I couldn't speak. Wow. These two things are linked. And I think really what it was, he was getting out of one argument and getting into another where he felt he had a firmer grasp of the subject. But it went on like that for hours. And it was great. It really was a lot of fun. This was definitely one of the better ones, one of the better Thanksgivings that I had. And I say this because of the catastrophe that happened afterwards. This was my idea again. Everything that turns out a catastrophe is always started off by an idea of mine. Since we're out east, as I mentioned, in the Hamptons, I figured, hey, you know, it's windy, the weather is foul, not a single glimpse of the sun all day. Now it's nighttime. It's still windy. It's raining a bit. Let's go to the beach. And for some reason, a lot of people agreed with me that, yeah, this was the thing to do. We should go to the beach. It's nighttime. It's windy. It's inhospitable. And what better way to look at nature? And so we all went down to the beach, which is only a couple of blocks away, and stood there for a few moments looking at the ocean, which was rather high up. It was high tide. And so we went down into the sand to get a better view. And that's when it happened, almost maybe 20 seconds after we just stepped down from the roadway onto the sand. I saw it first. I saw a wave that just looked different from all the other waves. This wave was serious. And we tried to get out of the way. We really did. Because we saw it inside of a second after I saw it, we were running. And we only had to run a couple of feet, but that wave overtook us. And wouldn't you know it, all of us were just knocked to our feet and covered with water, salt water. And a lot of us, you know, would dress better than we usually dress because it's Thanksgiving. So I got to tell you, that was a memorable instant. And I understood, you know, not to belittle it, but I understood what people went through when the tsunami hit. I mean, a lot of us have said from the comfort of our homes here, I don't understand why they couldn't just run out of the way or just simply ride the wave or something like that. It doesn't look so bad from here, even though all those people died. It doesn't look so bad. They must have done something wrong. Now, you know, when a wave hits you, even if it's a tiny wave like the one that hit us, you kind of lose all control. And, yeah, panic sets in pretty damn quickly, too. So, yeah, soaking wet out east. Raining at this point, arguing for hours, great time. That's what Thanksgiving is in America. And that's what it should be. Okay, of course, we have a lot of other things to get into tonight. But let's take a quick look. I'm sorry, I'm moving a little faster than normally because we only have 45 minutes tonight, which means we'll be gone in about a half hour. Let's take a quick look at various highlights of the news over the past week. This is something unbelievable. Oh, my God. This comes from Canada. A guy in Red Deer, we all know where Red Deer is, so I'm not going to waste time on that. A Red Deer man has been jailed for storing massive amounts of child pornography on his computer. But get this. How did they discover it? No, it wasn't like last week when someone crashed a car into someone's home and discovered that they were hoarding all these pets. No, they didn't discover it that way. Police discovered it because a burglar went into this man's house and apparently discovered his child porn stash. I don't know what he was doing on his computer, but apparently he logged into his computer and was messing around looking for files to steal, I suppose. That's what burglars must do. And he uncovered the child. He was outraged. He was outraged by all this child pornography. He reported him to the police. The burglar reported the homeowner to the police, and the homeowner was arrested. I mean, where does this end? Where does this end? The cops can send a burglar into your house, peruse all of your property, look for anything that might seem to be a little iffy, and then report you in that way. No warrant ever needed. Wow, that's kind of spooky when you think of how that played out. Here's something else that's kind of wacky too. Six students in China were trampled to death at a middle school in the eastern part of the country, and 39 were injured. Get this, when a sudden panic caused them to swarm into a staircase. Yeah, they're just going down the stairs like school kids in every school in the world have ever done. Except in this case, they all panicked and piled on top of each other, and six of them died. It was unclear what triggered the panic, but the report cited one pupil as saying students fell on top of one another after one of them squatted on the landing to tie his shoelace. This is how people die in overcrowded situations, by bending down to tie shoelaces. Local authorities are investigating, but the report said they were holding the Toulon Middle School responsible, and the principal of the school had been detained. Not sure. I mean, I don't know what the principal could have done differently. I guess had people walk further apart or something, but I don't know. This is just a very unusual story, and it's not the first time either. Eight children were killed in a similar stampede in October of 2005 in a primary school in the southwestern province of Sichuan. And you just gotta wonder about things like that. Here's something else. This has a personal note to me because I talked a few weeks ago about being threatened by a deer. You know, the deer that stared me in the face and was stomping her foot and seemed to be goading me. And I, up until that point, I had no idea deer even had any interest in attacking humans, but apparently they do. Get this. In Ellenburg, New York, a deer being kept in a pen attacked and killed his owner a week ago. Yeah, the buck that killed Ronald Dona was among about a half dozen deer penned up on his property in Ellenburg, which is about 180 miles north of Albany. He had a license to keep the white-tailed deer on his property, but nobody seems to know why he had it. Deer attacks, according to the authorities, are extremely rare. Doesn't really make me feel any better, though. And how about this for Idiot of the Week? The party game asked people to name the stupidest thing they had ever done. Police say Jerry Rose answered, "I shot a guy in the head." Well, guess what, Jerry? You just beat your own record because now you've done something even more stupid. Rose is now charged with murder and armed robbery in the March 22nd slaying of 60-year-old Edgar Hawk. Well, the details on how they found the body, I guess, aren't that important, but he gave him a pretty big clue over there. Wow. So that's some of what's been going on in our crazy world. Of course, the Michael Richards controversy continues. People are talking about that. That was another topic that came up quite a few times. And we saw the apology on Letterman. Now there's another apology with Reverend Jesse Jackson, where Michael Richards appeared on. He appeared with Jesse Jackson on a TV program and apologized yet again. Actually, it was a radio program, excuse me. At a press conference, comedian Paul Mooney said he has used the N-word numerous times during stand-up performances, but will no longer do so after watching Michael Richards' rant. "He's my Dr. Phil," the black comedian said. "He's cured me." Asked about free speech issues, Jesse Jackson said the word is unprotected. That's a bit scary right there. I mean, it's an unpleasant word, but to say any word is unprotected by freedom of speech, I don't know. I always have a problem with that. I think it's hypocritical for people to go out and say, you know, if you're of this particular race, you can say the word, and if you're of this particular race, you can't. I think everything is context, and there are ways of using it that aren't meant the same way as other ways. And of course, what Michael Richards did, that was extremely offensive, and I think everybody knows that. But if a black person were to do it, I would find it just as offensive. You don't get a free pass just because of your color, no matter what. All that said, you know, I think it is time. I think it is time for us to maybe not popularize the word so much in our culture. Not have it in all the rap songs and late-night comedy venues and things like that. Because it sends really bad signals. Now, here's something else that's interesting. The N-word, which I'm loath to actually say. I have said it on the radio to make a point, and it never feels good saying the word. And I don't think I need to now. But that word is not banned. That's not one of the words that the FCC says I may not say. I can say that word, and the station will not face a $350,000 fine. How about that? But yet, I'm not saying it. Other people on this radio station are not saying it. Other people on other radio stations are not saying it. You know why? Because of community standards, because professionalism, our basic common sense. And I think that might be something the FCC should keep in mind rather than having blanket bans on particular discussions, particular words. I think this is living proof that it's not going to turn into a free-for-all where everyone's just hurling four-letter words around. It's not what people are interested in. If they are, then you have a bigger problem. But something that disturbs me about this whole Michael Richards thing is a number of people, number of white people especially, who have stood up and said, "Yeah, at last he speaks for us. Why, you know, we can," instead of standing up and saying it's hypocritical to use the word in with some people and not others, they're crying out for freedom to use the word. Which they have. They have the freedom to use the word, but they want to be able to say things like what Michael Richards said. And even he doesn't want to say things like that. And I say even he, I don't believe he actually is a racist. I think he has what all of us have, is evil inside of us that can come out when provoked. And I think there are a lot of wise people who are working on healing, working on ways to get him to understand this, to get us to understand this. And I think a lot of good can come out of this. But there are also people trying to provoke it. And I think that's very destructive. I would not be surprised. I'm saying this half humorously because it's probably only half funny. I would not be surprised if somebody somewhere has taken it upon themselves to hire people to go around. Yeah, imagine this. Two black guys going all around the country, sitting in the front row of rich white entertainers and heckling them in the hopes that their racism will be unleashed. Yeah, you know, it could pay off. It could pay off. Because I'll bet eventually you'll push somebody's buttons and they'll say all kinds of horrible things. So, yeah, it's a distinct possibility. But I also learned that people have very different, very widely different views on what's racist and what is not. For instance, I'm sorry for doing this. I hate doing this. I don't think I've ever done it before. But I'm going to read mail that was sent to Off the Hook on Off the Wall. And the reason I'm doing that is because we're not on Off the Hook this week. And it doesn't really tie into the subject matter of that show as much as it ties into this discussion here. But a few weeks ago, we played something in humor, which is always tricky. We played a piece of a mock documentary. You know, the whole loose change thing about 9/11. This was called Loose Marbles. And it was by a guy named Will Franken. Well, we got a lot of feedback, most of it positive, but I just want to focus on one of the negative pieces. This was after we recommended Will Franken's podcast, which is at willfranken.com. Dear Emmanuel, I listened to Will Franken's podcast after you recommended it on your show, and it turned out to be a load of bigoted garbage. All his jokes are about how Muslims are terrorists, or how Hollywood liberals want to help the Muslims commit genocide, or how hate crimes aren't all that bad after all. I love how in his hate crime segment, he describes hate crime laws as Orwellian. Yeah, hate crime laws are Orwellian when the U.S. is holding people without a trial, torturing them, and keeping them a secret from America. I suspect that this is a whole lot like that new conservative Jon Stewart show that's going to be coming out soon. Other than this, I enjoy the show. Keep up the good work. Signed, Kyle. Well, Kyle, thanks for writing, even though you may never hear this being on the other radio show. But I got to take issue, and I might be in the minority here. But I think there is nothing that is immune from being made fun of. And whether that's fundamentalists who preach a certain kind of religion that justifies mass murder, or whether it's making fun, white people making fun of black people making fun of white people. What I want to do is I want to play an excerpt from the piece that you mentioned about hate crimes. And I'd like for our listeners to either call in or write in and tell us, is this racist or is this funny? Or is it racist and funny? And we'll be back right after this from Will Franken.
Hello, Davida.
Hello, Treyander.
What is the matter? You look very sad.
I found this stuck to my windshield.
What does it say?
It says, I will kill you tonight because you are black. Signed, a white person.
That sounds like a hate crime.
What is a hate crime?
A hate crime is where a person tries to harm someone because of their race, gender, or sexual orientation.
Do you mean like when the Black Panthers will kill white people?
No, that is a revolution.
Do you mean like when the Muslims smash the planes into the buildings?
No, those are freedom fighters.
Do you mean when white people make fun of hate crimes by talking like black people?
Yes, what we are doing now is a hate crime. Please, do not do as we have just done. Remember, hate crimes are no joke. That sounds like a hate crime.
What is a hate crime?
A hate crime is where...
Is this your voice on this recording, Mr. Goldberg?
Yes, it is.
It is?
Yes.
Were you aware, Mr. Goldberg, that it is considered a hate crime in the state of California to make fun of hate crimes?
No, I didn't think it could get that Orwellian.
I'm sorry, Mr. Goldberg, you didn't think what?
I didn't think it could get that Orwellian.
Orwellian. Now, what is that? Some sort of newfangled racial slur?
It's a book. It's a reference to a book.
Oh, books!
Yes.
So you enjoy reading books?
Yes, I do. I'm a history teacher. I read quite a lot of books.
Exhibit A9. Is this your book, Mr. Goldberg?
Yes, it is.
It is. Mr. Goldberg, would you take this book and would you read for the court the title of this book, which was found in your possession?
The American Past, A Survey of American History, 4th edition.
Order! Order in the court! Order! Ladies and gentlemen, I realize our emotions are very high today. Order! Did you not hear me the first time?
Sorry, pig.
Ladies and gentlemen, I realize our emotions are running very high today, but order must prevail in this courtroom. Otherwise...
chaos might prevail.
Now, I'm not saying anything bad about chaos or... anybody who might practice chaos. Myself, I've been to Burning Man on a number of occasions. That's where I got this gavel. Prosecution may continue.
Mr. Goldberg, would you open this book to page 309? And under the subheading, The Slave Trade, would you please read for the court the first paragraph?
Professional slave traders bought blacks.
I'm sorry, what did they buy?
Blacks.
Is this the sort of thing that you enjoy reading about?
I don't know if I enjoy it. It's just something that happened.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Mr. Goldberg. It just what?
It just happened. It's history. You know?
Oh, so in your opinion, Mr. Goldberg, history, in your own words, is just something that happened.
Yes.
Is that what you would like this jury to believe?
No.
No?
No, I would like this jury to believe that I'm a butterfly.
And why is that, Mr. Goldberg?
Because...
Mr. Goldberg, get back here. I'm not through with you.
Okay. All right. Well, obviously, yeah, I think that's funny. But I can see how people might get offended by it. But is it racist? I have a hard time saying that making fun of anybody is necessarily a racist act, unless you're constantly making the same points and trying to turn an entire race of people into some preconceived notion. I don't see that here. I think if you listen to the rest of Will Franken stuff, you won't see that either. But I'd like to know what our listeners think. You can write to us, otw@2600.com, or call us at 631-632-9872 in just a few minutes. And, you know, the genius of this guy is that all the voices are one person. I don't know if that's apparent when listening to it, but wow. But yeah, you know, nothing is immune from a little bit of humor. And I think once you start taking offense at everything that is said about one particular race or one particular group of people, that's when you start to lose any objectivity. If we can't make fun of ourselves, there's not much left. Okay, and of course, the major news of the week. My God, what is wrong with the NYPD? 50 shots at unarmed civilians leaving a club 4 a.m. And the worst part of it is that they killed a man on his wedding day. Hours before he was to be married, a man leaving his bachelor party at a strip club in Queens that was under police surveillance was shot and killed in a hail of police bullets, and two of his friends were wounded, one critically. Now, many details of the shooting have not, still not been made immediately clear. I believe this is what happened on Friday. But relatives of the dead man, Sean Bell, and community leaders, including the Reverend Al Sharpton, demanded an investigation into what some called an overreaction by officers that killed a man on his wedding day. Now, again, so much of this story is not yet known, and I think that's a major problem right there. What we sort of know so far is that Mr. Bell and his friends got out of the car, or actually they got into their car. They walked out of the club in Jamaica, Queens, about 4:15 a.m., and then Mr. Bell drove the car half a block, turned a corner, and struck a black unmarked police minivan that had several plainclothes officers. The car then backed up and hit the van again and nearly struck an undercover officer before shooting forward. That's when police officers fired at least 50 rounds at the car. And bullets not only hit the car, they went into apartment buildings. They went into people's apartments. They went into other cars. They even went into an air train station in Jamaica so that anybody standing there could have gotten hit by these bullets. Not one shot fired at the cops. 50 shots fired by the cops. Now, a lot of people are saying really kind of stupid things here. Like, well, what were they doing in a club at 4 a.m? What were they doing in such a bad neighborhood? Hey, they live there. This is their neighborhood. So cops can open fire on people just because they seem suspicious? Okay, then the next point brought up is, well, why did they ram the police vehicle? Why did they hit the guy? Actually, this is also something that I've seen change since the story was first reported. First, it was nearly hit a police officer. Then it was hit a police officer. Then as a police officer jumped on their hood. I've seen police arrest people for assaulting an officer for raising their arm in self-defense and having the cop hit them in the arm. That's assaulting a police officer. So I don't put it beyond the realm of possibility that a cop brushing along the side of a car would be considered running over a cop. Otherwise, that cop should be in the hospital if he was run over or hit. But regardless of how that all played out, you have a situation where you leave a club 4 a.m, and suddenly these guys in an unmarked car start to approach you, maybe displaying guns, maybe shouting something that you can't hear because your window is closed. Maybe not. What would you do? Stand there and wait for them to assault you? These guys were unmarked by their own admission. Cars were unmarked, plainclothes cops, and apparently these guys were supposed to somehow know that these were good guys and they should completely yield to their demands, whatever they may be. Now, this happened on Friday. It's now Tuesday. We don't even know the names of the cops that did this. They're not only presumed innocent until proven guilty, they're presumed better than everybody else until proven innocent. Why do I say that? Imagine if the table had been reversed. Imagine if these had been cops in the car and somebody thought they were about to be assaulted. They thought their lives were in danger and they mowed down the cops. Hey, I didn't know. I didn't know. Yeah, they weren't causing me any problems whatsoever, but I thought my life could be in danger. Please don't report my name. Don't even question me for the next week or so. That'll give me a chance to talk with the people I was with and get my story straight. Okay? Let me do that. And yeah, you know, your cops probably deserved it. They probably deserved to die. Yeah, if that happened, if that was how things played out, I imagine people would be a little bit upset. So it's good to see that a lot of people care about this, obviously, but it's another indication of how the system is completely rotten. When this kind of thing happens, these guys are allowed to maintain their anonymity. They're allowed to continue to be paid, although they don't have to come to work anymore. And they don't even get questioned. How about a breathalyzer test? Did you know undercover cops are allowed to drink alcohol? Did you know that? They are. How drunk were these guys? We'll never know. There were no tests given. They have not been questioned. They're free to talk to each other and make sure their stories match. If these guys are so innocent, why is the deck being stacked so heavily in their favor? Something that really really disturbs me. And I was looking through the net, and there were just so many people that are filled with hatred and ignorance. I went over to Newsday, which is our local paper here. By local, I mean it serves all of Long Island. And they have so many comments on their website that I'd like to read some of them. And again, our phone number here, I'd like to see a few calls come in. I see the occasional one call come in, but I'd like two or three so that we have a couple of people to choose from. Don't want to sound too egotistical here, but you know, if one person is a lunatic, you want to be able to go to the next one. So 631-632-9872. Besides, there's more than one listener out there. And if it times out, just call back. And we'll try to pick up. Let's see. It's not possible to form any opinion based on the facts as presented by the articles that have been printed, but I might question anyone whose first action is to call Al Tawana Sharpton. That comes from right out here in Kings Park. Another person from Whitestone says, Al Sharpton sucks, always looking for a chance to play the race card. Screw him. Okay, first of all, guys, Al Sharpton did not come in on his own. He was called by the family. Now, is it wrong for the family to want justice? Who better to go to than somebody who's familiar with this kind of thing? And as far as playing the race card, first of all, a lot of people are saying, you know, it's... two of the cops were black, one was Hispanic. So what's Al Sharpton wasting his time for? You can't have it both ways. He's there because somebody got killed by the police. He has not made this a racial issue. You have. It just so happens that minorities are threatened a whole lot more by the cops. And if you don't know that, I don't know what you've been smoking, because it's just plain as anything. Walk down a street in a primarily black neighborhood and watch all the people being questioned by white cops most of the time and harassed for no reason. Talk to people who live in these neighborhoods, find out how many times it's happened to them. This is real. This really does happen. But in this particular case, we're talking about police brutality, and that's something that Al Sharpton also knows about, and this needs to be dealt with. Okay, we have some calls. Let's see who's out there. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hello.
Hi, speak up, please.
How's it going?
Good. Where are you calling from?
Talking to.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, where are you calling from?
I've got to turn my radio down. Hang on.
Turn your radio down. You're probably on a very long delay wherever you are.
Australia.
Are you calling from Australia?
Yeah.
Wow, okay. That's pretty far away.
True. I was just streaming it over the internet then, but there must have been, like, some delay.
There's about maybe a minute delay from yeah, from when I speak to when. There's also delay. I think you're on a satellite or something, so that might be an issue as well.
I'm on the landline.
You're on a landline. Well, you still have to use a satellite to get here, I think.
Oh, I'm just streaming it live over the internet.
Yeah, but you're calling us on a landline.
Yeah.
Right. So you're well. Never mind all that. So what do you think of what you've heard so far? Any comments or opinions?
Like the thing about the dude getting shot was pretty crazy. Like that thing, you know, that like dude that got shot, I suppose. But yeah, I listen to your show all the time.
Oh yeah, cool.
Yeah, I've been listening for about 7 years now.
Uh huh. Yeah. Now, you guys have had all kinds of racial problems over there in Australia in the last year or so, actually longer than that.
Like, some root, like, gun problems, I think. Like, they just need to get rid of all the guns, don't you think?
Well, what, well...
Because I've been, like, threatened with guns and stuff. Like,
people just know how I feel about guns, but I'm curious, what are the laws down there in Australia?
Well, you have to, like, join a gun club.
We are in a different country, and it's too bad that that we can't use that kind of language. But if I were to let that go over the air, we could get in all kinds of trouble. I'm sorry, Mr. Australia, but we had to cut you off. That's just our government at work. 631-632-9872. Good evening. You're on the radio.
Good evening.
How you doing? Where are you calling from?
Long Island, sorry.
Okay, and what's on your mind?
Yeah,
you gotta turn down your radio. You're gonna get very confused.
See, that time delay is annoying.
Yeah.
So you speak for a moment.
It saved our asses just now, though, I'll tell you that.
Okay. I'm sorry about that.
That's okay.
Yeah, with the Richard situation, I mean, when you tell somebody, you know, turn them on their heads and stick a fork in their posterior, regardless of whatever epithet you care to use, there's something wrong about that.
Absolutely.
And that he got all the heavy guns out for him, you know, Seinfeld appeared on CBS that night, you know, for the Mia Cooper, and apparently you say Jesse Jackson went there.
Well, I think these guys reached out to him. I'm pretty sure Seinfeld convinced him to be on the show, and I think Jesse Jackson wanted a piece of this as well.
Yeah, well, I think that, you know, when they did that thing with the Puerto Rican flag for the last show, these guys aren't really all that considerate.
Well, okay, you know, I could see that being offensive, but I also see it being funny because it's so offensive that it's, my God, this is the worst thing we could possibly do, and look how it appears to people. I don't think anybody on the Seinfeld show said, let's offend Puerto Ricans.
Well, if there were a couple Puerto Ricans there on the cast, okay. Mm-hmm. They were burning an Israeli flag, okay.
Well, I'm sure if they're at an Israeli Day Parade, and I don't know. I think there's room to make fun of everybody, and I think just because a flag was being burned, we talk about burning flags all the time. It's just a different flag burning.
No, with the cops, they've been downhill for years, and I guess the last thing I would have to say is that, gee whiz, you know, you have a show tomorrow night, and you've got a show here. Why not let the college students have more time?
Actually, well, first of all, I don't have a show tomorrow night because I'm preempted, but what was your question?
Why not let the college students at USB have more time? There's people that seem to be godfathers it in there forever. I mean, when you were calling Albania, that was fun and that was music.
Uh-huh.
And now that you can get through, it's maybe academic.
Well, it's not as fun anymore. And plus, we're not allowed to talk to operators without getting their permission first, so it's really kind of silly. There's no way we can do that. But you're saying we should have... Well, we have... this place is complete. It's run by college students, and we have 24 hours a day. We have people on the air. We're trying to get more people. We're always trying to get more people.
A complete radio junkie. You know, there's people that have been there forever. And, I mean, it's good, clean fun, but give somebody else a break.
Well, nobody's being shut out. I mean, nobody is saying that because you're on the air, you can't be on the air. We basically just have a schedule, and we always need more people. And what USB, what this radio station is a great mix of the old and the new. And I guess I'm turning into the old now, but... we learn from each other.
The whole thing is a little disingenuous. If one were to look at the programming for the evening, you know, from 6 o'clock on, you know, I mean, the dedicated shows have been there for a while, but gee whiz, give somebody else a break.
Well, I'd like to know what you mean by that, because I don't think anybody's being shut out. If you have instances of people that should be doing...
Wednesday night you have the the two shows that play bluegrass.
Right.
Those guys have been there for quite some time. The fellow with world music, again, quite some time.
Okay, well, I really don't want to critique other people's programs or anything like that, but if people are here and they're doing a good job and there's a following for that, I don't see that as a bad thing. I also don't see people coming in saying, I want to play bluegrass instead, and I'm a student, and we're telling them, no, you're not allowed to because this other guy's doing it. That doesn't happen here.
Well,
those
sorry,
people
Edward,
are welcome.
That's my opinion. I'll ring off now because I'm sure somebody else may want to try to get through.
Okay, yeah, you've lit up the phones, but thanks for calling. I was told there was a basketball game at 6:45. If there are any sports people around, please let me know. I'm going to keep going otherwise. Yes, let's take some more phone calls. 631-632-9872. Good evening. You're on the radio.
Hi. I wanted to call about the police.
Good. Okay.
I just wanted to say, you know, you were saying earlier how police are held to a much lower standard than the average citizen.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me that police should be held to a higher standard. Seeing that their job is to protect and serve the people, they should be subjugated to our investigation and our scrutiny, you know.
I agree, totally. And, you know, this may sound callous, but I think if we're going to treat police like the gods that oftentimes they have to be in order to get through a day, is it so unfair to say you cannot shoot somebody unless it's obvious that they're shooting at you?
Yeah, precisely.
Or, you know, are 99% certain they're going to be shooting at you? Not, oh, I think they might have had a gun, or I thought my life was in danger, because anybody can make that kind of justification. And cops are only human. They're going to make the same mistakes. What happened in Jamaica, there's actually a term for it. It's called contagious firing. And what happens is that these cops kept firing because the other cops kept firing, and they're literally responding to the echoes of their own guns. And I think that's kind of like what happens when you have all these guns around and you just assume there are more around, so you have to fire even faster and more frequently.
Not only that, but I believe the police are over-eager to use their weapons. I have an acquaintance who was arrested a couple of times earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
And each time he was arrested, without any provocation, without even speaking to him first, they drew their weapons on him.
Yeah, that's insane.
And without the safety on.
That's insane. That's abuse right there. That is psychological abuse.
Yeah.
And that's something that I think a lot of police take advantage of, the fact that they've got a big gun and they can do all kinds of things to you and get away with it, and you know that.
The Australian caller mentioned taking away all the guns. You know, the people who are most dangerous with guns, in my opinion, are the police.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're the ones carrying guns all the time, and they're the ones who are given carte blanche to point them at people and oftentimes to fire people.
Right. And I think
not to mention with tasers.
It's a good indication how an armed society is not necessarily a safer society, because the people with those guns can lose control at any time. There's a story. I just saw this story today about some guy who killed his friend over a $20 football bet. Now, he fatally shot his friend with a high-powered rifle in a dispute over a $20 bet on the South Carolina Clemson football game. Basically, they had bet $20 on the annual game, and they drank beer all afternoon and watched the game at one of their houses, and then began arguing about the bet afterwards. And then one of the guys goes to his car, gets the rifle he normally uses for hunting, and fired one shot, hitting the other guy in the chest and killing him. This is what happens when you have easy access to these things. You lose control, you pull a Michael Richards, and you just completely turn into something else, and you have something deadly at your disposal, and guess what? You use it.
Well, as far as police go, I would be happy to see something like in the traditional UK policemen who don't carry weapons, although that's changing.
Yeah, they killed that poor Brazilian guy last year.
Yeah, and now they're carrying MP5s, you mm-hmm. know, and automatic machine guns, and, you know, it's just ridiculous, the arms race that they seem to involve themselves in.
Right. I mean, in the past, when cops had guns, they had to, you know, pull a trigger each time. Now, they can fire so quickly that they lose count of how many times they've shot somebody. It's insane. And they're doing that because they assume the other person has a gun that can match or outlast theirs. Where is this going to end? Are they going to be throwing tactical nukes at each other someday?
Right. Well, I disagree somewhat with your position on arms control.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I do believe that people should be allowed to own guns within reason. But, you know, there is something to be said for restraint. And I think we can come to a compromise in our society so we can be we can hold people accountable for their actions and make sure that the right people don't get the wrong people don't get weapons when they shouldn't.
We're all the wrong people at some point, and these cops sure proved themselves to be the wrong person at that point.
Yes.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Folks, I don't know why we're still here, because I was told 6:45 there'd be a sports game. There'd be a basketball game, but there isn't. So I'm going to keep going until somebody tells me to stop. All right, and please keep calling in, 631-632-9872. Good evening. You're on the radio.
Well, it's Brill over in England here.
Oh, England. Okay, we've had Australia, England, and Long Island.
Actually, that guy from Australia, he had a very funny Australian accent. I don't think he was from Australia, to be honest.
Well, I don't know. You might start a war between your two nations as he tries to prove how Australian he is, but regardless.
No, well, I like the Aussies, really.
So what's on your mind?
Well, a couple of things. I just wanted to... you mentioned something the other week about Hillary Clinton being the sort of one of the forerunners for the Democrats in the 2008 election.
Hillary Clinton, yes.
I just wanted to find out what sort of the gist of things in New York was for what it is for her as a candidate for the Democratic Party.
Well, I think most people in the Democratic Party would vote for her, at least people in New York would vote for her as the primary contender for presidency in 2008. I think that's suicide. I don't think the rest of the nation would see her as a good candidate. And I personally don't think she's a good candidate. I think she's too far to the right,
right,
and too jingoistic. And I mean, she could certainly do worse, but you could also do a lot better. And I think that's what the Democrats need to. Democrats need to find a strong candidate who is very different from the status quo. And she just does not meet that definition.
Yeah, I think the consensus over here is that I think a lot of people like her. But I think the more so go for her personality and stuff, you know.
Uh-huh.
And the fact that she's a woman.
Yeah, but you know, this proves something that I've suspected for a long time. Women can be just as pigheaded as men. Black people can be just as wrong as white people. Okay, now, you know, we'll have Condoleezza Rice, we'll have Hillary Clinton, we'll have all kinds of candidates for high offices now. And guess what? Things aren't going to improve that much because of their race or because of their sex.
Yeah,
it's the system. The system is what's foul.
Yeah, of course. Just the other thing I wanted to mention was you mentioned also video of these some cops in a college over in America.
The taser incident, yeah, at UCLA.
Yeah, I managed to see that, and I just thought that was absolutely disgraceful.
You have that. You have the situation this week with the killing,
yeah,
which I imagine you've heard as well. This kind of stuff, does it make the news in England?
Say again, sorry?
Does this make the news in England, the kinds of things that are happening here in the United States?
Not really, no. I mean, I tend to get myself on the internet for a lot of my news as well, like sort of global news, in particular like sort of American news, but that sort of stuff doesn't tend to make the mainstream media over here, no.
Because I wonder, people in other countries, they hear about these things, they must think it's just like the wild, wild west out here. And that we're all insane and angry and crazy all the time. And we're not. It's an image I really like to dispel.
I think it should. Well, I mean, I think it should hit the mainstream media over here, to be honest, because it'll, you know, it just gives people an idea of how things are going over there. And I mean, you know, I mean, we've got similar sort of stuff over here. I was watching something. You've got something called Cops, I think, over in America.
Awful show. I mean, a lot of people like that show, but I think it's an awful show because it always portrays the cops as being right. It always portrays the cops as the ones who could never do no wrong, never do any wrong, I'm sorry. And they also edit out any parts where the cops are shown to be doing something wrong, which is plenty of times.
Well, we've got something called, I think it's called Road Wars over here. And I mean, I'm not really big on that sort of reality TV stuff myself, but over here we've got exactly the same thing, and it's all just edited out to make the cops look really good.
Mm-hmm.
But in one particular episode tonight, I managed to catch it before, but there was a guy who was a policeman who was chasing some young thug, and no sooner had he got around the corner, he was panting and out of breath. He couldn't get any further than about 100 metres, 100 yards, rather. But,
yeah, they'll cut that right out, I'm sure.
Well, I'm surprised they left it in, to be honest. But just finally, one thing I just wanted to mention, I've just sent off what I hope you'll find to be a reasonably funny story to letters@2600.com. That is the right address, isn't it?
Yes, letters@2600.com if you want something to be published in the magazine. Yeah. If you want to write to the radio program, though, it's otw@2600.com.
I'm hoping that it's be published in the letter section of the magazine, because I thought it was quite funny. I don't want to spoil it, just in case you do decide to use it, but if you don't, I'll maybe pop onto the radio when the winter edition's out and mention it on there.
Okay, the winter edition, which I am currently working on and going crazy over, but we'll find out if your letter is on, I guess, soon. Thanks for your call.
Cheers, Manuel.
Take care. You know, I might just go to England this winter. If anybody has suggestions as to where I should go this winter, please write to me, write to OTW and tell me, because I don't know. I just haven't made any plans, and I want to go somewhere. I'm feeling kind of restless. Okay, I've looked at the website, and yes, I'm not crazy. Today's Tuesday, November 28th, 6:45 p.m. Women's basketball should be playing Iona. I don't know if the stadium or wherever they play the thing has vaporized or if people just forgot or something like that, but I'm just going to continue. And I'll bet there's not going to be a Blues program tonight because they thought there was a basketball game too. Oh, boy. Okay, let's take some more phone calls. 631-632-9872, as we're having a lot of them. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, it's a guy from Australia again.
All right, be careful this time.
Oh, yeah, because I got cut off because I said the F word.
Yeah, you said that word, and you can't say... I can tell you all the words that you can't say, but it would take too long.
To the guy from England that I definitely am calling from Australia.
Okay, can you say something to prove it that would satisfy him?
Hey, like, g'day, mate, but, like, we don't really say that. We're not really like that.
How about this? What's your country code?
We're normal. We're like, exactly the same as, like, you guys.
What's your country code?
6023.
6023?
In Perth, Australia.
Okay, but that's not your country code.
Well, my country code is 61.
Okay, that's correct. I have my finger on the button there. All right, you're Australian. No question about it.
Definitely am Australian, yeah.
Okay, let's make it fast because we have a lot of other calls. What other point did you want to make?
Call is calling. I'll try and call into Off the Hook next.
Yeah, well, we're not on tomorrow. We'll be on
When's Off the Hook?
It's usually on Wednesday nights from 7 to 8, but not tomorrow. It'll be on the week afterwards, though.
Yeah, because today's Wednesday for me.
That's right. You're ahead of us.
Yeah, it's 7 a.m. or 8, no, it's 8 a.m. here. Yeah.
Uh-huh. I know there are 2,600 meetings in Australia, but I don't think there are any in Perth.
Yeah, I don't think anyone really rocks up to the 2,600 meeting in Perth, but...
Yeah,
I should start my own 2600 meeting.
Well, you can do that. And if you do, email meetings@2600.com. Give us the details. And hopefully I'll make it to Australia one of these days. And
worry about this 2600 shirt.
Uh-huh.
To tell you?
What, a 2600 shirt, you said?
Yeah, and I actually got it for free.
From us?
Yeah, I actually stole it from you.
You stole a shirt from us, and you're calling us from the other side of the world to tell us.
I did that? Well, it's very funny, because... actually found out that there's a lot of personal information floating around on peer-to-peer networks.
Uh-huh.
If you just do, like, a search, like, you can go on there now.
Oh, I know there's all sorts of personal information on P2P network, but how did that get you a shirt?
Well, because I stole these dudes' PayPal accounts off LimeWire and then used it on your website, and then I got, like, the Freedom Downtime DVD for free.
So you committed credit card fraud, and we were the merchant. Is that what you're trying to say?
What?
You committed credit card fraud and we were the merchants.
Committed credit card fraud, that's what I'm trying to say.
Well, I think you succeeded in saying that. Well,
because, you know, what are you guys going to do? But, yeah.
Well, I'm going to expose you on the radio for one thing, but you already did
what?
That. You beat us to it. But how recently was this that you did this?
Funny. What?
How recently was it that you did this?
It was like earlier this year.
Well, that's not that long ago. I can't really believe that you've reformed.
Like, find out about... I tried to do it again, but, like, oh. I tried to order some stuff off your site, like, legitimately.
Uh-huh.
And, like, it just didn't go through.
Well, we have pretty good security for the most part. Maybe it sensed your brainwaves being evil or something.
Yeah, maybe.
It could do that.
Yeah.
All right, listen. It's been enlightening. It's been fun. It's been entertaining. But we got to move on. But thanks for calling from Australia twice and ripping us off. Because, you know, we have to refund that money when that happens. Yeah. Anyway, take some more phone calls. Good evening. You're on the radio.
Hey, Manuel.
How you doing?
Good. Listen, I heard you say before you're looking for a place to, excuse me, I'm sorry, to go. Iceland. Have you been to Iceland yet?
Have not been to... Well, I've landed in Iceland a couple of times and walked around the airport, but never actually set foot in the country.
Okay. I went to Iceland with a buddy of mine last year, and it was a hoot. Had a really good time. I learned a lot, saw a lot.
Did you go in the winter?
It was actually the springtime.
Yeah, because this is going to be the winter. I mean, I have nothing against it. I like the winter.
You know what? My friend Bjorg lives there, and it's really not that different than here. It really isn't.
Friend's name Bjorg?
Bjorg. B-J-O-R-G. Not uh-huh. Bjork. Bjorg.
Interesting.
Yeah, and she was telling me that it's not really that different. The only thing is they clear whatever snow they get. They clear the snow off a lot faster. And the way the roads are there, it's just some weird... When you clear the snow off, it clears it off. It's a lot safer driving. Not like they do here and make excuses for it.
Uh-huh. But, well, I definitely would like to see that. I'd like to see Greenland as well and just all sorts of weird, bizarre places.
Oh, yeah, that's the idea. I know you did Eastern Europe last year. So I'm not going to say you did. I'm sorry. That was Eastern Europe last year you did, right?
Well, I had to go through Eastern Europe to get through Russia, so it was more like taking a train through it. But I have been through Eastern Europe in the past. I wouldn't mind doing that again.
Yeah, I would like to try that myself. I love to travel as well.
Maybe Russia in the winter. That could be fun.
Now, from what I understand, that gets chilly.
It does get chilly. But, in case you don't know, I don't mind getting chilly.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
You might want to try Iceland. It's
too much warmth in the world. Too much warmth in the world these days, and I like a little bit more coldness.
Ah.
Yeah.
I see.
But, that sounds like a blast. Reykjavik is a possibility. I'm half thinking if I'm going to CCC this year, which is in Berlin at the end of the year. I don't know if I'm going there. If I do, it's going to be different than the last few years. So I'm just looking for ideas.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I haven't been on a plane myself in, 6 months. I'm starting to get withdrawal.
Yeah, I haven't been on a plane in forever either. So, Anyway, yeah, thanks for your call. Thanks for the suggestions. I'm going to take them seriously.
All right. Bye.
Take care. Guys, you're listening to WUSB in Stony Brook. I don't know what's going on here. I guess the basketball game is canceled or something, or people are being prevented from covering it because it should have started 15 minutes ago. It's now 7 o'clock, and I guess there's no Blues show tonight because they thought there was a basketball game as well. So we're going to continue taking calls for just a little bit longer, and then I got to figure out what's going to happen to the station after that. But let's continue taking phone calls, 631-632-9872. And good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. I lost your station for a few seconds. So.
Dear.
Were you making a point that the world wouldn't be better if women were running things of the system?
I don't think any one group of people is inherently going to do a better job than any other group, no.
I mean, I think it would be better if they bought a different set of values. But I remember Ross Perot accused Katie Couric of having to prove her manhood in an interview he did. And in a sense, that's what they would have to do if a woman became president, for example, to prove her manhood, to prove she could be just like a man, like Margaret Thatcher, for example.
Uh-huh.
But the same point is applicable to police. Because people always get astonished when there's some black cops are there and a minority person gets shot up, but you sort of have to prove that you're with the majority in the police department.
It's that blue wall.
And how you, the cops who black cops who come out and complain, they don't have it easy.
Mm-hmm.
You're a minority in New York's police department.
Yeah, but it takes courage to stand up to any group that you are a part of, and that's what I don't see in the police department nearly enough. For people standing up and saying this is wrong, this needs to be investigated, we need answers. Instead, it's everybody protects each other, which might seem noble.
The 48-hour rule that gives them I don't need that much time to get off the story straight.
I don't understand that rule. What's the sense in that rule?
It's a contract. It's in their contract, and it should be illegal.
Yeah.
Let me make another point. Like they said, who knows what really happened with Amadou, but they said they mistake his wallet for a gun. But if it's true that he pulled out his wallet, one of the reasons for that is black people, we have to constantly identify ourselves to police.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And
like the South African pass system. Mm-hmm. I had a day in New York and Long Island, which I was asked to produce ID 10 times. I don't know. The white people I know, I've known white people who've never had to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I've had to do it, but never nothing near what someone with a different color face would have to do. And it's such a stupid reason. Now, people say, you don't know what it's like to be a cop, but I'll bet those people who say that have no idea what it's like to be a minority in a neighborhood patrolled by cops who are white.
They don't. People who are white who work in, like, Japanese companies suddenly start talking about glass ceilings and inability to advance and affirmative action.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not until you look. I was watching O'Reilly once, and there was some guy. I think he had harmed a police officer, and it was on tape. The news helicopters were taping it, and they were stomping him. And mm-hmm. he reran the tape, and I said, "Well, he's got at some point he's making it." And he said, "See, the black guy's doing it, so it's not racist." But they have a culture and a system in the police department too. Just like Serpico ended up getting shot because he said things he shouldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
Your life depends on these other guys.
Can I put you on hold for a second, sir? I'm going to come right back to you.
Right.
Now, are you a sports person?
Yes.
Oh, okay. What's going on with the game? The game is
7:15.
You changed the time?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, it says 6:45 here, so I thought something bad happened. Okay, so you guys are going on 7:15.
Yeah, actually, well, 7:13, but a couple minutes before.
Okay. Well, yeah. Get out of here around 7:10 then. Okay, that means we have another 6 minutes. Thanks. Thanks for the update.
Sure.
Okay, so the basketball game's happening after all. Sir, continue with your thoughts.
Yeah, in the police, just like in the army, if there's an atrocity, you're afraid to tell because these guys are armed and you depend on them for your survival sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So these minority cops, the ones who come out like the what's his name for 100 officers, I forgot the name of the organization that comes out and publicly speak. That's a very courageous thing to do.
100 blacks in law enforcement or something like that.
Yes, 100 blacks in law enforcement. And the point O'Reilly was saying that because a black guy is kicking him, it's not racist. Well, if he stands aside and doesn't partake in it, he's automatically ostracized
mm-hmm.
and suspicious now. You know what I'm saying? And these guys didn't care that there was a helicopter televising this thing. I look at it like it's sort of like if the cops arrest somebody for firebombing someone's house and they're wearing Ku Klux Klan robes
mm-hmm.
and they arrest one of them and they find out one of them is black, that means it's not racist because a black guy did it? In South Africa, they have black cops beating people right along with their white co-workers because you have to prove.
Right, you can make the same assumptions about somebody based on their race and be part of that race yourself.
Mm.
It's not too hard to realize that.
Exactly, but that shoot first, ask questions later attitude, that is the way it is in New York City.
I know, that's what's insane.
That is normal.
Mm-hmm.
I we had lots of situations where we weren't sure we were going to get out alive or not.
Right.
Doing nothing, walking down the street and stuff like that.
And they can just
in a black neighborhood.
Right.
Everybody is a suspect.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it is. Now I lived in a neighborhood in Long Island that's primarily minority, and I seen two white kids walking through the neighborhood. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And they were probably going to see friends. They were really just kids. They weren't out buying drugs. And I was waiting at a bus stop, school bus stop, so I could see that they were just going to see someone. And these cops drove by and noticed them and backed up and searched. They treated them like they were black just because they were in that neighborhood. And the only reason that white kids would be in that neighborhood is to do something untoward.
Yeah, that's...
Became suspects. They became black and suspect automatically just by being there. And I went over there and I talked to him,
mm-hmm.
and I asked him, do they live in a white neighborhood? And he said, yeah. And I said, well, and I said to them, this wouldn't happen to you in your neighborhood. I said, this happened to you because you're coming to see your friends. And I said, yeah, that's all we're doing. But they were shaken by it.
Yeah. Oh, you definitely are when something like that happens to you. It definitely messes with your head.
Yeah, but they didn't know how to handle it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I have gotten in trouble by... You know, I've learned to calm myself down. You got to be careful what you say.
Oh, I know. They freak out if you say. I mean, somebody gave a cop a little bit of lip the other day when I was in Harlem, and next thing you know, he's searching the guy, even though he obviously didn't pose any kind of a threat. He just gave him a little back talk, and the cop has to prove something to him.
That's another thing that I've seen white people do and get away with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could say that's preposterous. Leave me alone, and you can't. I have rights. If you say rights to them,
right.
If you're a minority, they'll call you a jailhouse lawyer and use the N-word.
Yeah, I've heard cops use the N-word, which is disgusting.
Yeah.
I've seen cops arrest people simply because they asked attitude. What their shield number was. Excuse me, officer, what's your shield number? That's it. You're causing problems. You're going to jail.
Right. You can't ask for their number or anything. Anything that they deem impertinent.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember during, not the Knapp Commission, the second one, I think the Marlin Commission, this guy was saying that they beat 350 people, some outrageous figure that's so outrageous, I'm not sure if I'm saying it right, out of one building. And they, the attitude they wanted was that for I have the people to cower in fear at the sight of them. And they have achieved that.
Absolutely. So
and
we have to change the system, not just prosecute people who do things like this. I mean, obviously you have to do that as well. Find out the facts, not cover them up.
The whole police culture is one in which all these things that I'm telling you is permissible.
Right, and that's the problem, is that culture.
Anyone who speaks out again, like I say, you have to watch your back now. They are armed, and they can... They don't have to shoot you. They can just not support you in a difficult situation.
Right. I can't imagine, you know, in most bad neighborhoods, you have to worry about the criminals. But in the case of people who live in these neighborhoods, you have to worry about the criminals and the cops.
Exactly.
It's really horrible. Listen, thanks so much for calling. Where are you calling from?
Take care now.
What part of the island are you calling from? Are you somewhere else?
Hello?
Oh, I guess we... Sorry. Miscommunication there. Okay, we have time for one more call, and then we're out of here. Good evening. You're on the air.
I am on the air.
Yes.
Let me turn off the
radio.
Hey,
I know this voice.
His voice.
I think I know this voice. Are you an old brain damage caller?
What's that?
Are you an old brain damage caller?
No.
You're not? Oh, you sound remarkably like somebody used to call brain damage. Okay.
Well, I'm on the air, OTW.
Yeah, you're on Off the Wall. Where are you calling from?
I catch you in the car all the time.
Where are you calling from?
Consider it a test of my will to be able to listen to you most of the time.
Can you tell me where you're calling from?
Long Island, Oakdale.
Oakdale, okay, great. So very quickly, what's on your mind?
At all, but I agree with about 25% of what you say.
Well, that's
like
more
to,
than most.
Test my tolerance to alternative opinions.
Well, good for you. That's what it's all about.
I think so. Yeah. Sometimes I know you'd boil the blood of some of the people I hang out with, that's for sure. Where was I? We got this whole cop thing going.
Yeah, you really have about 30 seconds to state your whole philosophy.
You assume too much negative. I think it's society's problem that the bad neighborhoods are also the most dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have a police force in those areas unless they assume a certain attitude enforced upon them.
Yeah, but do you really think that was the right kind of attitude that was shown on Friday?
Oh, absolutely. I think these guys are all subject to being drummed out. I have no sympathy if it went down in the worst case scenario, as you put it, and I can hardly fathom a scenario that would justify that type of reaction.
Okay, sir, I'm afraid it's going to have to be the last word because we're out of time. But I want to thank you for calling in. And
OTW
at 2600.com is our email address. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks, everybody else. I guess we should add time more often. We'll get more calls that way. Hopefully we'll be back again next week with more exciting discussions. Until then, Emmanuel Goldstein for Off the Wall. Have a good night. Stay tuned for Lady Seawolves basketball here on WUSB. Have a good night.